All of this, of course, is in the context of what we are as a church doing. For those of you visiting us today, we are focusing on the last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible is called the Book of Revelation. It's written by a man called John, and they are messages from Jesus. If I can have my computer, please, Mike, I can show people where these churches are. So there are seven different churches that is in a place called Asia Minor. And this letter was written just under 2,000 years ago to the Christians who lived in these churches. So there are churches called Church in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum. And today's reading is from Thyatira. So Jesus has a few things to say to these churches. Christians also believe that these words are not just for the churches. We are listening in as well. So we as a church are listening in to what Jesus is telling to the church in Thyatira. It has implications for our lives as well. So we're going to be focusing on compromise. The word compromise is a big problem in this place called Thyatira. There are some really good things going on in this church. There are really good things. Jesus says, I know your deeds, church. This church was going through hard times. And Jesus says to them, I know your deeds. And Jesus knows every one of our deeds. They are the things that we do in response to what we believe in. Jesus is saying to them, I know your love. I know your love. Love perhaps that you have for each other, but love that you have for me. If you have a love for God, it is a gift of God within you and you exercise that love. I know your faith. Do you have a faith? That is a gift of God to you. And Jesus is saying to the church here, your faith is so good. I really, really appreciate it. I know your service. I know your patience, that you're doing all the more than you had done before. Despite these very good qualities in the church, there are problems. Every church that you go to has problems. If the church that you go to said they don't have a problem, don't believe them. If you go to a church and say, oh, there's no problem here, don't join it, because you'll probably bring your problems to the church. Because every church has problems. This church in Thyatira has problems too. And what the problem was is they lacked discernment and they were prone to make compromises. Now, I want to ask you a question. Don't answer the question. How are compromises outplayed in your life? Compromises are things that take you away from your conviction, what you truly believe. And in this church, there were compromises. The driving force behind the compromise, behind this church, is a lady, is a woman by the name of Jezebel. Now, a significant proportion of the reading is actually talking about Jezebel. So I'm going to take about 5 minutes to tell you who is Jezebel. There are two Jezebels in the Bible, or more perhaps, but two we know of. One in the New Testament, in our passage, and one in the Old Testament. They might be two different people. In fact, I think they are two different people, but the intention and the spirit is the same. Many Bible scholars believe Jezebel we have in our passage in the book of Revelation is actually a woman who is leading the people of God in the church astray. She is a self-styled prophetess. She's a very persuasive woman who had great spiritual power, who gained quite a following by her forceful teaching in the church, by her very commanding personality. And she's calling people to explore the deep things of Satan. In our culture too, there is a tendency to look at the deep things of Satan. Occult practices, for example, in our culture is a prime example where we're looking at the deep things of Satan. Basically, this woman, Jezebel, by her teaching to the church, is getting them to make some compromises. The Jezebel in Thyatira is a bit like a Jezebel in the Old Testament. Now, what do we know about the Jezebel in the Old Testament? Quite a lot, actually. Queen Jezebel in the Old Testament is a frightening woman. I've been talking about, thinking about Queen Elizabeth. Sorry, it's not Queen Elizabeth, it's Queen Jezebel. Queen Jezebel in the Old Testament is a frightening woman. She is a Phoenician princess whom King Ahab of Israel marries to seal political alliance. No other name in the Bible expresses more chillingly the corruption of this woman who leads the people of God astray. When King Ahab marries her, she brought to the people of God not just worship, but a whole staff team. A staff team of 450 false prophets. That's a big team. God met this threat by sending one of the most toughest, one of the most robust prophets of the Old Testament, a man by the name of Elijah. He stood before the 400 prophets and he laughed at them. He was such a strong prophet. But listen carefully. When it came to Jezebel, he ran away from her. That tells you what a strong woman this Jezebel was. Do you know why? Jezebel in the Old Testament is like the Jezebel in our passage. They are both uncompromising, powerful forces of their day. I want to take about 15 seconds in silence to think about what do you think are the uncompromising forces of our own day? What are the uncompromising forces in our own times? Because the church in every generation has to stand up against the cultural urges of making compromises in regards to commitment to Jesus. Our own context and times are without exception. We too are prone to idolatry like the first century church and, of course, the recipients of Queen Jezebel's message. What are the compromises in our own homes? What are the compromises in our own workplaces? What are the compromises in our neighborhood? What do we as a church make compromises about? There's a man called Timothy Keller. We as a church have been looking into his book last year. And this is what Timothy Keller says in his book, A Counterfeit Gods. He says this: when anything in life is an absolute requirement for your happiness and self-worth, that essentially is an idol. If anything in life becomes an absolute requirement for your happiness and self-worth, that becomes an idol. What in your life is an absolute requirement for your happiness and self-worth? To compromise from a Christian vantage point of view is to allow something or someone to take the place of Jesus in your life. Jesus wants you and me to make him the central figure in our lives. Anything that takes the place of Jesus can become a compromising factor. It could be popularity. It could be power. It could be something as subtle as a strong desire to always be right. It could be an addiction to food or money. It could be revenge. It could be obsession with weight. It could be an obsession to being nice, or an obsession to being loved, to cocaine, dabbling with the occult, to gambling, relationships, to golf, to cricket, or gossip. The Jewish writer Moshe Halbertel says this: idolatry is not simply ritual worship, but a pattern of life based on making finite values and created things into God-like absolutes. When anything in life becomes an absolute requirement for your happiness and your self-worth, that essentially is an idol. So, do you have an idol? I do. So you might ask me, Saju, how will I know what my idol is? How will I know what my idol is? There are so many idols. Let me give you two tools this morning to discover what your idol is. Two tools to discover what your idol is. Try it this week. The Archbishop William Temple actually said, your religion is what you do in your solitude. In other words, the true God of your heart is what your thoughts go to effortlessly when there's nothing demanding your time. What do you enjoy daydreaming about? I enjoy daydreaming about cricket. What is it that occupies your mind when you have nothing else to think about? Ask, what do you habitually think about? What gets you joy and comfort in the privacy of your hearts? Whatever the answer to that question is, that has the propensity to be an idol. Try it this week. When you have your free time, whatever your heart draws to, that is an idol. There's a second way to know what your idol is. Try it this week. Look at your bank statement. Because that's another way of actually discerning your heart's true love. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So two tools for you this week to find out what your idol is. Whatever your mind is drawn to when it is quiet is possibly your idol. And your bank statement will say a lot about your idol as well. So you ask me, Saju, what do I do with my idol? What is it that I do with my idol? In a few minutes, I'm going to ask parents and godparents of Malachi, Jack, and Aurora a series of questions. These questions are not just questions for them. These are questions for each one of us. Because the God of the universe is a God of love. And he loves every person. God so loved Malachi that he gave his son, Jesus. God so loved Jack that he gave his son, Jesus. God so loved Aurora that he gave his son, Jesus. These questions that the parents and godparents are responding to are questions for each one of us. You might be even a Christian here for a long, long time. It is a timely reminder that we need to turn away from a few things and turn to the one, Jesus. Before I invite them up, I want you to perhaps sit down here and actually look at those questions. The question I'm asking them is, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? It's a question for all Christians. We too can be dabbling with the devil and his schemes. Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? That's a question for all of us. Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor? I repent of them. The church in Thyatira had to turn because that's what Jesus' word is. Listen, you have gone away from who I truly have called you to be. Now I want you to turn to me. Repent. Repent is turning to Jesus. Do you turn to Christ as Savior? I turn to Christ. Do you submit to Christ as Lord? I submit to Christ. Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? I come to Christ. Each one of us can say that. Each one of us can say, no, thank you very much. That's not for me. Aurora, Jack, and Malachi, bring your family and your godparents up, please.